Welcome to Oversharing with the Overbees. I'm Joe.
And I'm Matt.
And each week you can tune in to hear us respond to your voicemails, go in depth on our lives as content creators, and hopefully leave you feeling even better than we found you.
With that being said, let's get to oversharing.
We're back, baby.
Yeah.
A little high. Sorry about last week.
Yeah. Brief hiatus, unintentional hiatus.
Yeah. We've been having... Okay, so if anybody's listened to the podcast for a while... Or my other podcasts, you know that we do everything ourselves. We do have an editor for this podcast. Shouts Becca.
Mm-hmm.
We love her. But we do all the audio. We've been slowly but surely teaching ourselves about audio and all this stuff. And sometimes we mess up.
Yeah. Yeah. We have.
We've learned a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. You learn because you have to learn. But
Matt's going to get us a little box.
Yeah. Just we've had. We've heard issues of our timing not being synced up. It's a technology issue. And it boils down to clocks and really, really precise. Human ears are really good at hearing very small differences in timing. So that's what it is.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah,
it's a thing.
Well, on that note, we're happy to be back. The last couple weeks have been crazy.
Mm-hmm.
We're diving into house stuff today, which is a series that you guys have been asking for since we started the podcast, I think.
Yeah.
And so we'll hop into that. But I guess we need to kind of give them a roundup of the last 2 weeks because
we lost the last episode that we did.
Things have been nuts.
Yeah. So big thing. I mean, the week that we were trying to release the podcast that we recorded, we were flying out to Tom and Rachel Sullivan, Meal Sheets. They were releasing their book, mm-hmm. and they were doing a little book launch, and we wanted to go out there and help them.
Book launch.
Yeah.
It was all out, dude.
It was awesome.
It was really fun.
But wanted to go out there, support them, help them with their stuff, and just be around to celebrate them because they're friends of ours.
Yep. And they have... We flew with, I can't use words, guys. We flew with 202.
Yeah.
First time flying.
Double lap seat, too.
Yeah, that was a choice.
Yeah. Yeah, we were trying to save a buck there.
Yeah, we have one more flight that we're doing before G turns two, and we went ahead and booked her a seat.
Yeah, yeah. That one we just decided we should get that seat.
Yeah.
And after two, we'll have to get that seat. But
and I honestly, if it's in the budget, I recommend... really, however old they are, getting them a seat if you can.
It makes
do it.
It does make it easier. One of the biggest things it does for you is you end up with your car seat somewhere.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you logistically have to work out: does someone have a car seat you can borrow? Are you renting one? Because you can't really leave the airport without one in very many ways.
No.
Because you could take like a bus and hold them.
But
there's not that you're limited
the
in how you
is limited.
How you get them home.
Yeah, I've found that whenever we book an extra seat, 4G, it's been a lot easier just in general.
Yeah,
because she's in her car seat; she's not trying to like run down the aisle or.
She's familiar with the car seat.
Do something crazy.
They did really good.
Yeah,
to be clear.
Yeah,
would it have been easier with another seat? Absolutely, but
yeah,
honestly, the thing they kept doing. Is they would line us up across the aisle from each other because you're not. I don't think you're supposed to have two lap
you
seats.
You can't have two lap children in the same side, same row. So if it is a 6-seat across plane, three seats on either side of the aisle, you can't be on the same side of the aisle together.
Yeah.
With lap children. I'm assuming it's because whenever the things come out of, I'm sure there's many a reason, but my guess is that the things that drop out
the air
the
masks,
ceiling,
the,
I'm guessing there are four
the
per
oxygen.
Row.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, that might
why
be.
Why would they put, you know?
Oh, maybe. Yeah, that could be.
That's my best guess.
That's a total guess.
I have no
idea. I'm sure
idea.
There are people who listen to this who
know about airplanes. Honestly, we should ask Kadri. I wonder if she works on engines, but Matt
but
has
like,
a cousin who works on airplanes.
Yeah, she knows planes, right?
Yeah, maybe we should ask her. She might know.
Do you know how many times we read the little flyer? Of like,
well, we didn't. G did.
Yes. Well, G was like, wow, they have a book in the back of every seat, and one of the books is like, here's what we serve on this plane, and then the other one is all the emergency information for the plane, but it's all pictures, so that was at least a little more engaging.
Yeah.
So we paged through those on every single flight,
Yeah,
she would dig into other people's seat backs to grab theirs, see if theirs was different.
Maybe you have a different one. She's yeah, like, no, it's the same.
No, it's like an A332 or whatever, and yeah, that's how it works.
She liked the slide.
Yeah, I was playing up that if the plane did crash, we could go on the slides.
Maybe.
Yeah, they have like six slides on the plane. Yeah, as long as, again, if you're using the slide, you should be celebrating. It's a time for like, we made it.
Yeah.
And I think that's true.
But G slept on our last flight.
She slept on the last one. Yeah. Tips that we have. If you can get a seat, great. For us, flying later worked better because the tired toddler fell asleep.
Yeah.
Instead of just using the flight to skip a nap, she was done. She was wiped out in the night flight, as opposed to the afternoon flight where she was very awake and very engaged.
And very skipped nap time. But she did well, I feel like, overall. It was just once the plane landed, she was ready to be off.
Oh,
there.
Once we weren't moving anymore, she's like, oh, it's time to leave. Yeah. Let's make things happen.
And then we got to North Carolina and we got to explore. They had beautiful homes there.
Yeah, they have super cool houses.
Walking around Raleigh and seeing the historical homes, and that was really fun. I think that's my favorite thing to do when we travel.
Just see different like architecture
and homes and see how the neighborhoods lay out.
Landscaping is really what you were
buying. I love that part too. I know that other people they want to go to art museums. Mm-hmm. They want to go to restaurants.
I love an art museum.
Drive around and look at houses.
Yeah. Walk through neighborhoods.
Yeah. That's my ideal. So we did a lot of that and it was really enjoyable. And then Tom and Rachel had their big launch party.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun. I had my first beverage.
Well,
that's not true. I had a margarita at dinner a couple weeks ago, but I had more than one beverage for the first time, I think, since...
Your first real drinking.
I want to say I haven't had that many drinks since college.
No. No, there have been other times.
There have?
Not a lot,
it's but... It's been a long time.
I'm just thinking, we've been to some parties or something where you've had a couple.
Since I've had... You think... Where have I been that
I don't
had
know.
That many
That's
drinks?
What I'm thinking.
I
like as many as you had?
Yes.
It might be pre-G. It might.
I had four drinks.
That's
I know that's
such
nothing
a small
compared
number,
to most
but yeah.
people. But I thought I was going to die. I thought I was going to feel so bad in the morning. I didn't.
No, because you only had four drinks.
Normally
over
that
the course
would knock
of like 5 hours.
Yeah, normally that would hurt me.
No.
I took shots.
You did. That's true. You got influenced by some college kids.
They weren't They were out of college.
No, okay. Yeah. There were college kids and there were not college kids.
Yeah, they
I wasn't
were,
sure.
They were employed.
I assumed the shots might be college kids, but I
no,
guess not.
They weren't, and it was great.
That's great. Love that for you.
I love a shot.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
will
you,
say.
You're a tequila gal, so.
Yeah, my first drink was just tequila neat.
Yeah.
And the bartender didn't make fun of me. I feel like a lot of times bartenders make fun of me when I order that. Anyway, it was fun. I just don't drink very often.
No.
Not even socially. So that was fun.
It was fun. It was fun. It was our first night for sure with the two of them where we were out.
Yes. Had
like really out
sitters.
Out. Yeah.
That was good.
Mm-hmm.
Really good sitters. Trusted them, was able to go have fun. Rachel and Tom found us great sitters. And we had a great time. And the kids were alive and well when we got home.
They were great.
Had a great night.
Did you watch Tarzan?
Yeah.
She's big into monkeys right now.
Yeah, she is big into monkeys right now.
She just loves making monkey noises.
Yeah, she just go, ooh, ooh, ooh. But she doesn't get the ah, ah, ah.
She'll do it. If you do it, she'll give you an ah, ah, ah.
Yeah.
A little bit. But
she's
big
on
the
it.
Ooh.
Yeah.
But, you know. Worked on that. The thing I was talking about on the plane, though, is they'd seat us across the aisle from each other.
Oh, so sorry.
No. I just, that popped in my head, though. And I wanted to mention, they would seat us across the aisle from each other, which was convenient for us handing stuff back and forth.
Because Matt stole my AirPods. Unintentionally.
You mean I packed your AirPods for you?
No, they were in my purse, and then you put them in the, anyway, it doesn't matter.
Okay. Interesting. Framing.
You didn't actually steal them.
No.
They were
packed in a bag
they were
that was up
in one
in
of
the,
my bags.
Yeah.
And it was with you.
Yeah. It would have been handy for that one flight where you needed your AirPods.
Yes.
That said, they would seat us across the aisle from each other, which for us handing stuff, great. For the toddler who could then see the other parent, just across the aisle, you know, just 2 feet away.
Mama.
And then she would, we'd hand her over to you. Dada. And so she would just go back and forth as much as she could until one of us finally got in, like her engaged in something that wasn't the other person. But yeah, that was a lot.
So the flights home, we had them seat us not across the aisle.
No, we were each other. Like even front to back, like yeah, we behind each other was fine.
That was better.
That was fine. Just as long as it wasn't, because the children, they just don't understand that aisle you're not really supposed to be in or standing up all the time. So just to have that open space.
That adults didn't understand that.
Also that.
We never talked about that. But was that not the craziest flight you've ever been on for people coming to use the bathroom?
I'm just assuming it was a real problem.
People just said, well, no, there was that one.
Mm-hmm.
So we're literally, we were taxiing. And a girl came back to use the bathroom as we were taxiing, and they had to delay takeoff.
Oh, yeah. We didn't take off for a handful of minutes because somebody was just in the bathroom before we took off.
And I get that could totally be an emergency. That, like, again, if it would have just been that one circumstance, mm-hmm. I wouldn't have thought twice about it. But the moment we were in the air before the flight attendant was able to get up or anything, two different people came back to use the lavatory.
Oh, I didn't notice that, I guess.
I did. I was like, what is going on?
You know what it was? You were less engaged on that flight than I was because our child was really engaged with the person sitting next to me.
Yes.
She was touching her bracelets.
Yeah.
And her hair.
Yes.
And just everything that she had. And she was super nice about it. But I was like, I'm sorry.
We're like, gee, you got to ask people before you touch them.
Don't touch people on just planes
in general. But so during that flight that happened.
Yes,
it was wild.
Yeah, I do remember we didn't take off because somebody was in the bathroom, and that was like, really?
I was like, oh, and she was quick.
Yeah,
she was like in and out of there.
It was just badly timed because we'd taxied for a while waiting for a window.
Yeah,
and then we had our window and they were like, yeah, we can't take off yet.
Was somebody in the bathroom?
Yeah, somebody's in the bathroom.
Anyway, I've just never had that. I've flown a ton. No. I've never had that happen.
No, it was a hot, it was a popular bathroom.
Yeah. Anyway, what else? What else is on your mind?
Oh, so we flew. We went out there. We flew back. We tried to recover on Sunday. No,
did
Friday.
Did you guys hear that we went on a flight?
Yeah, no. This has been plane talk.
We got back on Wednesday.
Wednesday. Yeah, I don't know what days anything were.
We had Thursday at home.
Thursday to quote unquote recover? Question mark.
We did a bad job.
Yeah, we didn't.
We didn't get back to like midnight the night before.
Yeah. So we got back late, tried to recover.
She slept until 10 a.m.
Yeah. Yeah, she slept way, way in. And then didn't get a lot done Thursday. Friday, family came into town because we had a wedding on Saturday that was an 8-hour round trip. 4 hours one way, 4 hours back.
And Matt and I didn't get a hotel.
Well, we could have, but we wanted to be home. It was part of that whole, like, we've been traveling, let's just sleep in our own beds.
And we travel a lot in May and June this year, and so we were ready to relax a little bit.
We just booked travel before this podcast, actually. Yeah. So, for our next trip here in
we're
2-3 weeks.
Tennessee.
And then Phoenix.
Yeah. So the house is imploded and it is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Our room was clean a week or two ago and now we have all of our baggage and all of our stuff and
life,
laundry
though,
just piled in the middle of our room.
Life goes that way.
Yeah.
It's just constantly.
So wedding, grandparents, you know, they watched the kids.
Yep.
Tag team grandparents, actually. Everybody was in town. So
yep.
They did great. Bedtime went well, which was a first. Like pretty smooth execution on bedtime because a lot of times when the grandparents watch, it can end up just being like
late night.
Yeah, we hung out until you got home.
Yeah.
And now she's ready
but
for bed.
Grandma nailed it.
Grandma did.
Grandma B.
Grandma B.
Grandma B. Grandma B. Grandma, grandma, grandma B. Fresh baby. Whoop, whoop.
So, and then we had to recover from that. And now we're here.
Yeah, and we're going to talk to you guys all about the house.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so This is day one of house series.
Yeah.
We're going to talk a few different things throughout this. One will be kind of like what we did when we talked about giving birth to Rory, which is going to be an open Q&A, just answering your questions that we have not hit yet. We'll do that at the end. But today we're going to kind of walk you through the process of what it was for us getting ready to purchase our first home, buying our first home, making the decision to build our second home.
Yeah.
And then not long after moving into that, making the decision to purchase the home that we have now been in for a year and we were going to renovate.
Yeah.
So that's going to be today. We're going to give you our little history. And next week we will rock and roll into renovating a house.
Yes. Yeah. The bold, bold choice to do that.
Yeah. We would love to, in this series, have our interior designer, Leanne, on. And so we're going to try and work that out so we can have her talk with you guys, just because she has great insight into projects like this. And yeah, you want to kind of take the lead on where things started with our home journey?
Yeah. So it started, so we moved in together after we got engaged.
September of 2017.
Yeah, September 17.
I didn't know we were going to be engaged.
No.
Like, we didn't make that decision after we got engaged. We were moving in together. You just proposed the week before we moved in.
Yeah, together. Yeah. So did I have a job?
Yes.
Okay. So I'd found a job here, which was a big part of why it took us a while to be in the same place. And once we were in the same place, it didn't make a lot of sense for me to have my own apartment or whatever. And so we started living together in 17. We ended up buying the house that you were renting in 18.
Spring of 18.
Yeah, spring of 18. So right before we... Yeah, right... No, it was a year before we got married.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And really how we'd prepared for that. So Matt graduated from college in 14. I graduated from college in 15.
Mm-hmm.
And I was putting money aside from the time I graduated to buy, because we live in a part of the country where homes, well, at least used to be, a lot more affordable. I feel like everywhere across the board, things are pretty unattainable right now.
Yeah.
So just know it was kind of a different time.
Very different time.
Only 5 years ago, but...
2 years ago was a very different time.
Yeah. And so I, from the time I graduated, started putting money aside because I knew that I would want to buy when I knew we were going to settle down somewhere.
Yeah.
And I think that really depends on where you are in the country, because I talk to a lot of friends that live in bigger cities, and you really don't... Some people never buy in those cities. Some don't buy till they're in their 30s, 40s. You know, much
and
later.
A lot of that, I think, is work-based, too. If you're working downtown, it's usually not realistic that you would live anywhere near downtown. So the commute, a lot of things that go into your quality of life, where you could buy, or if you even were going to buy a home, would be further out. And so until you either have more flexibility in your career or you're able to, you know, manage that better, it's more advantageous to be where the action is,
right?
In terms of, you know,
thankfully Northwest Arkansas, the action is wherever you want to live.
Yeah, it's all suburb, basically.
So
suburbs and tiny downtowns that you can live very not that far from.
I saved pretty aggressively our first few years out of school because there wasn't anything crazy I was wanting to do, and most of my travel was covered by my job. I was doing wedding photography full time.
Yeah.
And so I didn't do a lot of vacations or anything like that.
You were too busy.
I was working all the time. Don't know that I recommend that, but it was...
You liked it though.
I loved it. It was really great for my season. But I was able to save, and you were able to do the same. But I feel like you weren't as big of a saver as I was.
No. I did minimal retirement savings.
Minimal retirement? I thought you did, like...
I did solid retirement savings.
Okay.
And then anything beyond that, you know, in could equal out.
Yeah.
You know, I'd pay my bills, and then I was like, oh, can I buy something cool this month? Maybe. I guess not.
Which is so wild hearing you talk about that. We'll have to do an episode about that at some point. Because Matt used to be quite the spender. You never spent more than you had.
No.
But you spent everything you made other than retirement.
Yeah. I would just structure it that if I was saving for retirement and I had a little bit saved up beyond that, in could equal out.
Yeah.
I didn't have to save extra. I mean... Yeah. I was just like, oh, cool. I will get, you know, some video games or a piece of, you know, stereo equipment, whatever it was.
Yeah. Anyway, we were told, or at least I was told from a young age, that you needed 20% in order to buy a house. So I thought it was way out of my grasp because, you know, homes here are, at the time, I wasn't probably going to find something under $200,000 that didn't need a lot of work.
Yeah, yeah. At the time, 200 was probably about where we were going to be starting.
Yeah, and so I was really scared of where was I going to get $40,000? Because I had saved and I had worked at that, but it wasn't $40,000.
No.
And so I say all of this to just bring up the point of we did not put 20% down on our first house.
No.
We, I think, ended up putting 10% down on it.
Yeah.
And so we had something 10 or 12. Around.
Yeah.
Guys, I'm not positive. This is going to be very loose, but I also want you to be able to hear from us our entire experience, because I think that's the only way that it's going to provide value to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so we put down about 10%, did closing costs, all that, and purchased our first home.
Yeah. And what the minimum is, what, 3% on a standard?
I think so.
Loan?
Yeah.
And then, especially when rates were really low, you just had to pay PMI, which is what usually when people are trying to pay 20%, they're trying to avoid paying mortgage insurance is basically what it is. It's an additional fee that you pay in case it's basically to protect the bank.
Yeah.
In the event that you default or whatever, I think.
And with the world right now, I felt like Matt and I kind of had the discussion. We were like, we wanted to get into the market more than we wanted to wait till we had that 20%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that that was a great decision.
Yeah. And the person renting our house, I think, was looking to sell it. So we were just like, okay, I guess now's the time.
Yes.
It was a big advantage not having to move our stuff.
Huge advantage.
Yeah. We got to buy a house that our stuff was already in. So. Yeah.
Then our next decision came when they were expanding the neighborhood next to ours, mm-hmm. and they were building an additional street with 8 or 10 more houses.
Yeah.
And we loved the home that we had purchased. We loved the layout of it. And it had very nice finishes. It was great. It wasn't necessarily in the colors that...
No, it had just been built earlier in somebody else's style.
Yeah. And so when they put in that new street, we thought, oh, maybe they would rebuild our plan for us over, because it was a spec home. So if you don't know what a spec home is, Matt, do you want to kind of take the lead on that?
A lot of times they'll have a set of layouts that you can pick from. And then within those layouts, you can sometimes choose your finishes. Or for us, we paid a custom fee and were able to move a few of the walls. Like, we could change some dimensions of things. Overall, the plan stayed the same, but we were like, here, can we push this out here and maybe rearrange the bathroom a little bit and some stuff like that. And so they're very predefined. There's like full custom where you draft up a set of plans or you have someone draft up, usually an architect, make the plans, and then those plans get passed on to a contractor builder who then you take bids and they get bids and you go through the whole custom process. This is much more streamlined. It was a price per square foot spec home that we paid a custom fee to do some changes.
We didn't pay for the house until it was built because it was, I don't know how that works. Because whenever we're renovating or whenever you're building custom, mm-hmm. you pay for it as you build.
Yeah. Yeah, you're basically,
you can get
a lot of times you'll get
loan.
A construction loan, which is a bunch of money up front, or you have access to money that you draw from as the project goes on, as opposed to this where you go under contract of, this is going to be the price of the home, plus any adders, so anything we wanted upgraded, we would pay those out of pocket, whatever the fee was. So if it was $500 to add a window, we would have to pay $500, and then that would happen.
And that was us dipping our toes in the water, I think, for the first time, just in home anything.
In designing anything for yourself, for sure.
And I learned I'm not very good. I'm not bad, but I'm not good.
We were risk averse, is what we were. So we were very worried about making the wrong choices. So we went super neutral.
Yeah.
We went with very, like, neutral walls, neutral tile, neutral countertops, neutral cabinets.
Which I did in this house, too.
which we've done a lot of here, but we did that with in mind understanding that you would be wanting to change that over time.
Yes.
Understanding that that was not the what you would want to end up with, because, and we went with some much bolder choices here. We talked about Leanne. That was Leanne helping us, because
we'll
a lot of times,
get into all that.
Yeah. Anyway, so that was a price per square foot. And that, the big reason we did it, because at the time, and I think it's probably still similar, by where we are just regionally, there's not a lot of older inventory by us of homes. So the price per square foot of selling your house and building a house, at times it's cheaper to build.
Mm-hmm. I'd say right now it's cheaper to build a spec home than it is to buy a lot of homes.
Yeah.
And so that's why spec homes are so popular. I think throughout the country there is more and more.
Yeah, there's a lot of areas where there's a lack of old inventory of previously built homes. So people are having to build new homes. And so a lot of times when you get involved in that, you can maybe pick some finishes, or maybe you can't, and you just get whatever package they put together. But
anyway, when they said that they were going to build this new street, we put in a email to the contact saying we'd like to build. They said they wouldn't build our plan. And
they do not build our plan anymore.
Through some different ones, and we decided not to do it.
Yeah, we just... And that will be the theme to all of our choices. Is we bought homes, we didn't need to buy a home more than somebody else wanted to sell it.
Yep.
And that is an advantageous position to be in. That has not been the case for most people in the last 2 years. They've wanted to buy. Yeah, and
we've been really fortunate because our position has definitely been, we didn't need to buy anything. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that was just a huge win all around. And so they came back a couple months later because they hadn't sold those lots. And again, we're pre-pandemic. We're pre-everything going crazy. And they told us, yes, we'll build your plan. And so we decided to move forward. That took about, they broke ground in January and we moved in July.
Mm-hmm.
So it was about 7 months of build. It went up fast. And we moved in July of 2019, bought that house, and loved it.
Yeah. And so we went from buying a house that all our stuff was in, and then we only had to move it two blocks over. Mm-hmm. So very easy moves at that point. And so that was really nice. And we could check on the house every day.
We did.
5 days a week, probably, we would walk over there because we were taking walks.
Yeah.
And we just wanted to see what was up, so able to keep our finger on the pulse there and
see
what was happening.
Which was very helpful. I will say that if you're going to build or renovate, being able to go and look at what's going on regularly definitely saves you money.
Yeah, it will save you time and money for sure, because you'll be able to say, hey, I don't know if this is how it's supposed to be. You can check in and make sure that if there are things being done that you don't understand, that it can be handled before they get two, three step, like
major things that went wrong in that house. They did all the wrong trim.
Yes. We ended up leaving that.
Yeah. We ended up leaving it because it was upgraded trim that they put in our house. It wasn't
the
style that we wanted.
Yeah.
We ended up with crown molding and all this stuff that we were supposed to have.
We just wanted flat stock.
Flat stock. Yeah. But we had them leave it in because I asked if they pulled it out, what they were going to do with it. And they're like, oh, we'll just throw it away. And I couldn't deal.
Yeah, you were like, let's just leave it. It
looked fine. And to me, that was so wasteful.
Yeah.
But we didn't have to pay for the upgraded crown molding. So that was cool.
That's true.
What else? We took cabinets to the ceiling. That was an upgrade.
An upgrade cost. We added a window. That was not as expensive as you would think it would be. You just have to plan for it before they have to do stuff. So if they frame it out to add a window, then it's just the cost of the window.
I'm trying to think of anything else major that went wrong.
The shower had to be redone like 6 times.
Yeah, I thought that was one of them.
The shower was a big one. So we had, part of our custom was like, hey, we want this shower to be this size and tiled this way. And it got put in smaller, and then it got put in bigger but wrong, and then it got they got plumbed the wrong direction, like on the wrong wall.
And then they put a full wall in where there was supposed to be a pony wall with
glass. There was supposed to be glass on one wall, and then they just made it a whole wall, so they had to cut that wall in half. And so there was times we were going over there like, hey, here's the three things we saw today that didn't look quite right.
Yeah.
And then our realtor went back and forth with the builder and got it all
handled. We had an awesome realtor for that. And then as I was just driving around one beautiful late summer day.
We've been in our home.
Early fall, actually.
6 months, 8 months.
No, it was longer than that.
Nine.
We'd been in for over a year. This was in 2020.
Yeah. Okay. I guess so. Barely a year. Barely a year.
It was September of 2020.
14 months.
Okay, but that's way different than 6 months.
You're right. You're right. Fine.
Not really, though, I guess, in terms of buying houses. 6 months, 12 months, it's still short.
So yes, I'll just recall that we've bought two houses in the last
okay.
2 years.
So I was driving around, guys, and there was this for sale sign on this little street. And I said, you know what? I'm going to drive down that street and see what that house is.
Mm.
And I drove, and there was this beautiful garden at the end of the street with a long driveway.
Yep.
That led to a relatively modern-looking ranch.
Yeah, yeah.
It had lots of glass in the front, mm-hmm. like big windows. I was like, I'm going to look up how much this is listed for. And I looked it up, and it was way out of my budget.
Way out of budget.
And I said to Matt, it's way out of budget. Can we just go look at it?
I remember it being pitched to me as, I have a house we need to go look at. And I remember going, no, we don't need to look at any houses because we just bought this one.
We own a house. We live in a house.
And we built that house not with the intention that we were going to live there forever, because you do want a large family, and it was a, you know, 3-bedroom, and your plan would be to expand in 5 years, something like that. Now, this had been 1 year, and so my thought was, oh, well, we still have 3-4 years before we're really seriously looking at, again, still didn't have any children. And so
we were pregnant.
We were pregnant.
We knew we were pregnant.
But, you know, we had 3 bedrooms, so it seemed very manageable that we had one and a child had one, and we had a guest room or an office, or actually we had a separate office too, so there just wasn't a bedroom. So felt very comfortable in the size of home that we were in, that we did not need a house. And so you were like, no, we need to go look at this house. And we went and looked at it. And I remember walking through it and being like, okay, this is really cool. Like, for a house built in the 80s, I'm into it. It's got a lot of cool spaces and choices, and the layout was interesting, and there was a lot that could be done with it. It needed a ton of work, but there was a lot. It had good bones, as they say, which not to get too cliche, but
it did. Yeah. And the best part about it,
mm-hmm.
it was on land.
It was
not
on 3 acres.
Land,
yeah.
But
yeah, 3 acres.
Yeah. And it had water, running water.
Yep. Stream across the back.
Which is everything I wanted in the home that I hoped to raise my kids in. I really wanted them to be able to go outside and not be in a little fenced-in backyard, which I grew up in a neighborhood, but I didn't grow up in a neighborhood with fences.
Well, you didn't have one right behind you.
We had one on the one side, but even growing up, there wasn't a fence. Like, there weren't fences. You could walk all the way to my friend Brittany's house through the backyards. Now, fences have gone in the last 5 to 10 years.
Yeah.
But growing up, there were no fences.
Okay.
And so you could just run through. And all the homes here have fences.
Yeah.
And so there's just what feels like this little ticky-tacky, like, box that... And
you felt confined.
Well, I don't even know if that's it. Because I love a fence, man.
Yeah.
A fence is very convenient for the dogs and so many things.
Yeah.
But I wanted my kids to be able to run around and explore and make forts in the woods and do all the things that I did when I was a kid that I felt like I got to do because I didn't feel like I was just in my little box. You know?
I keep thinking of your house as it is now. You know, the one you grew up in. And I was like, what do you mean forts? Like, it was just a neighborhood. But
across the street,
you could go out and there were some places to explore.
So I hung out with the boys that lived in the house directly across the street from me when we were kids. And behind their house is woods all the way down to a creek.
To be fair, the house that we were in had that green space behind it. They could have wandered off to the woods.
That's true. That's
very yeah. There
true.
Was options.
Yeah. Well, anyway,
kids are resourceful.
Long story short, I fell in love with outside. It wasn't even yeah. the house for me. It was outside. I mm-hmm. wanted it. I needed it. And I could not afford it.
No,
And so we put a super low offer.
Yeah, we put how much were we?
20%.
20%, 25% below asking. It had been on the market 100 days or something like that. It had been up for months.
It was still crazy low. Uh-huh. Especially like looking back on it now with everything.
Sure.
Anyway, so we made our offer and Matt and I sat down and we crunched a bunch of numbers about how much it was going to cost to renovate and
yeah.
do all this stuff.
What we thought we could get out of the house that we had just built.
Yeah. And we came up with a number of if they come back at X, we'll say yes.
Yeah.
And we thought, no way.
It was just a little bit. So if we offered 20% below, it was like if they come back
18%.
17% below, we can probably swing it.
Yeah.
You know.
And I'll never forget we were standing in line to vote at yep. the 2020 election. And my phone rang and it was our realtor.
Uh-huh.
Matt and I got quiet and I picked up the phone and I said, hello. And she told me the number and it was $5,000 less than the number we had agreed on.
Oh, I thought it was spot on.
No, it was $5,000 less.
Yeah.
And Matt hears it over the phone. You just hear Matt go, shit.
I heard her. Yeah, I heard it. She was on the phone, but I knew who was calling, and I was pretty sure what they were calling about. And then I heard the number, and I was like, "Oh no, we're gonna buy this house! Damn it!" And it was exciting, but that initial reaction was, "Oh no!" Like
it was a huge project.
Like I can't believe. I was excited that we got it at what we got it. We were pretty sure that because in all reality, this house, before it was redone, the primary value of this house came from the lot. Mm-hmm. And so we were pretty sure it was a fairly safe buy in that even if we couldn't do much to the house, if we could just spruce it up a little bit, give it some love, repaint it, touch it up, you know, make it nicer and newer, that we weren't going to lose a bunch of money on it.
Right.
And that was kind of the fear. We didn't want to buy something that we were going to just absolutely take a bath on and then it not be worth anything. We were pretty sure most of the value of what we paid was for 3 acres where we were, not so much the house and the size of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, investment-wise, felt okay. Buying 3 homes in 3 years wise didn't feel awesome.
No.
And then it was like, okay, I guess we're going to do this. But we also didn't sell the house we were in right away.
Because we were renovating.
Yeah, because we wanted to renovate.
And then entered our owning 2 homes era.
Yeah, the 2 homes era that was supposed to be
6 months.
6 months. And we instead owned 2 homes for 18 months.
It was longer than that.
Something like that.
It was
yeah.
close. It was like 18 or 20.
I think months. We were paying 2 mortgages for about 18 months.
Yeah. It was too long.
It was way too long.
But
that was as you were taking off on TikTok and Instagram. And so business was good. But then also,
we somehow made it happen.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a stressful time in terms of paying 2 mortgages and paying for a renovation. But the great part of having that is also when housing prices just started taking off. And so we bought it right before that happened. And so all of a sudden, if there was a good time to have 2 houses, it was then, because it meant we could sell one and we could live in one.
Mm-hmm.
When we were done, we didn't have to rebuy. So that's where we got really, really fortunate.
For sure.
In terms of just timing. And that's not a realistic expectation for anybody.
No.
Should never really bank on that happening.
But that's kind of our little history
mm-hmm.
of homes. And next week, we're going to kind of launch in and talk to you about renovating. So what it was like in the months leading up to starting demo and how we planned the programs that we used to design and make sure that we liked the design and how we weighted decisions on where we chose to spend our money and where we chose to save or wait. And we're looking forward to talking to you guys about it.
Yeah, because we did a lot of the, I mean, all of the design, I guess, we did ourselves for this renovation.
For the layout,
And so we had to plan it all out and make sure that what we were going to do was feasible and rational and that it would actually work. And that's where having two houses in that amount of time is, it did give us some experience, especially doing that spec home, is understanding kind of spaces and how they function and how to plan ahead a little bit for that.
For sure.
Because so much of, that's why we loved the layout we hadn't originally though, is because it lived really well for us.
Yeah.
It was a big living room and a big primary bedroom and a decent sized bathroom. And those were the spaces we used the most.
Well, we host a ton.
Yeah.
And I would say the biggest thing that this home is missing, and I'm sure we'll get into this, on our kind of wrap up episode, but the biggest thing this house lacks is a playroom.
Yeah.
We don't have a separated playroom.
Mm-hmm.
But
even our first house layout, our first houses layout probably would have an easier setup with that. That office that we didn't make good use of could have been a playroom space really conveniently. And this one does not have that in the same way, but it very much, we understood through those experiences how we wanted to use a home, and then we let that influence the shape we wanted. A big renovation or even a custom build would be a similar process.
Yeah.
So.
Mean mom?
Mean mom.
Bad dad.
Well, I put one up on my Instagram this week, just of a bad dad moment where we have a diaper genie in Gardner's room, and basically it's just a self-contained liner that is inside there, and it has a charcoal filter, so you can put dirty diapers in there and it doesn't smell. For a day or two, it was really smelling bad in our kid's room. And I was like, man, something's wrong with the diaper genie. I better check it out. And I pop it open, and I had not tied the liner inside. So it was just, basically, I was just throwing dirty diapers in a plastic bin in her room. And it smelled like it. It smelled exactly like if you just stored them in an open container. Yeah, I was like, man, are you going to the bathroom a lot? No, wasn't our kid. It was her dad just leaving.
Your mom kept saying, I think she has a dirty diaper whenever she, and I was like.
And she'd walk in there, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't walk in there during that time, so.
Yeah. Well, lucky you.
I know, lucky
It
me.
Didn't smell good.
Do you have a mean mom? I don't think I have a mean mom.
Mean mom? I don't know. Anything from the trip or?
I did something, but I don't have anything off the top. I do have something off the top. Uh-huh. Mom almost lost the special bunny.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Special bunny.
So we have dear friends who gave Rory a stuffed bunny whenever he was born. And, oh, man, I said whenever. I've been really working on that because it drives people nuts. And I said it when Rory was born, not whenever he was born.
Whenever it was.
Whenever it was. When Rory was born, they got him this stuffed rabbit. And Matt didn't know that it was a gift for Rory. But he did know.
And I knew it was a gift for Rory, but Rory's not interested in it because he's 2 months old.
Right. But she also got a version of the rabbit, a bear, when she was born from my parents. And that's what she wanted to take with
her. She wanted to take the bear. And I was like, please don't take the bear.
Because we know that she really loves the bear, and we didn't want her to lose the bear. And so, anyway, long story short, Matt let her take Rory's bunny, which I was like, oh, shoot.
I had the thought. I was like, he's not attached to this bunny. She likes the bunny. If something happens to the bunny, we could replace the bunny.
Without thinking about who might be attached to the bunny.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I hadn't processed that part.
Yeah, mom's attached to the bunny.
It had sentimental value to mom.
Yeah. So, we go through the airport, and this is like, it was straight out of Toy Story, the way this kid is ragdolling this bunny through the airport.
You were watching it like a hawk, though.
Oh, yeah.
Because, again, turns out she was very very emotionally attached.
I was like, I am not losing this bunny.
So she's bird dogging our kid with this bunny. Anytime this bunny gets set down for a second, it's getting picked back up.
She's throwing it around by the ear. Like, yeah. Anytime she goes to sit it down, I immediately, I have it. And she, outside of the airport when we were going to get our rental car, she didn't want it anymore. So I was holding it. And I was like, this will make it to our final destination.
Yeah.
And about an hour after we got to our friends, Rachel and Tom's house, we're sitting there. And Matt goes, where's the bunny? I'm going to go give that to her because G wasn't having a good time.
We're trying to settle her down for bedtime.
And I was like, oh, it should be with our stuff. Matt's like, I don't see it. And
I was asking because I already couldn't find it. I'm not usually like, where is our stuff to you? Because that's not a helpful dialogue for us typically. Well, unless it's one of the few things that you keep track of.
Which was the bunny.
You were keeping track of the bunny, but I had a good feeling. Like, we put all our bags down in one place. I was like, the bunny's going to be in the car
Matt's
or
like,
where
the
all our bags
gone,
are.
And I don't want to bring it up, but...
Yeah, I'm just going to float it out there, see if it's somewhere I didn't look.
And I lost my cool.
You did. You were very not chill about that bunny
no,
being lost.
No, I couldn't stop thinking about it.
Initially were like, that bunny can't be bought anymore. Which, we could, not true. We could
we
find them.
Well, we couldn't find it from the original manufacturer. We found it from
sure,
anyway.
But many people sell the bunny still.
Not important. Matt goes out to the car, can't find it anywhere in the car.
Dig through the car.
He checks the sidewalk and stuff, walking in, if we dropped it. It's not there. I'm trying to call the car rental place.
It's very difficult to get them at like 11:30 at night.
Yeah, I'm like, maybe it's on the shuttle. Maybe it's like in the parking spot where we got the car because I knew that it made it to the shuttle. And we're going. And finally, I just give up. I'm like, oh, well.
Well, again, it's like midnight.
Yeah.
And so we make a plan for, there was actually somewhere in Raleigh we could go that I think would've sold the bunny. We could have physically had the bunny by 2 o'clock the next day.
I was so devastated, though. I wanted a replacement bunny, but I didn't. I wanted that bunny.
It kept coming up. Yeah. You could not let it go.
I couldn't stop thinking about it.
You were fixated.
I was very fixated and very upset. And I woke up in the morning still thinking about it. Mm-hmm. It was one of the first things I said to Matt. I was like, man, I just feel so bad. He's like, don't bring it up in front of our kid.
Yeah, don't talk about the bunny if the bunny is not available. And she's going to want the bunny.
Yeah. And anyway, what ended up happening, Matt?
So I went back out to the car in the morning and go out to, well, I don't know what I was doing, putting a car seat in or something. And
yeah.
I walk back up the stairs and Tom goes, is that the bunny? And on the posts, so we parked on the street and there's some posts that on the walkway up to their house sits the bunny. So what happened is... when we unpacked the car the night before, the bunny just got set on top of the post because our kid didn't want to carry it and you set it down for some reason. And it was dark and the bunny is like a dark blue and it just didn't really ever pop up. Didn't see it in the two times I went out to the car. So,
and the bunny made it home.
In the daylight, we discovered that the bunny had just been left outside overnight. And
I felt like the world's worst mom though.
Yeah, you took it really personally.
I did. I was like, this is the worst thing I've ever done.
Mm-hmm.
My mom, when I was a kid, lost a tweety. Well, she didn't. I shouldn't say it that way. I had this pink Tweety towel, and it was on the boat, like hanging across the dash of the boat to dry. And my dad took off to head back home, and we hadn't picked up the towel, and it caught the wind and flew into the lake. And neither of them jumped in after it to get it because my mom wanted to. And my dad was like, no, you can't get it. It's too deep. My mom and I both still to this day argue that she definitely could have gotten it. My dad claims she couldn't have.
But we'll never know.
I was little. Mm-hmm. I was little. Lost my ever-loving mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's what I was thinking of. I was thinking about how sad I was to lose my Tweety towel. You know?
Yeah.
My mom got me a replacement Tweety towel, but it wasn't the same one, and it was never the same.
Yeah.
That Tweety towel's rotting at the bottom of the table rock somewhere.
That towel doesn't
it's
exist
probably disintegrated,
anymore.
Huh?
Yeah. I don't think it's a one thing.
Yeah, 20 years.
It's decomposed.
At the bottom of a lake.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, anyway.
It's part of the ecosystem of the lake now.
That's what I was thinking of. All right, hit us with Greg's Reads of the Week. If you're new here, yeah. Greg's Reads of the Week. Greg's my dad, and my dad's really rad. He sends us articles all about things.
Everything.
Random things. And we like to rate them based on the headline on a scale of 1 to 5 of how stressful the headline is.
Yeah, how much anxiety we get from the title.
Here's this week. Greg, what do you have for us?
Embarrassing. Young Americans are wasting money on silly things like TikTok pink sauce and Candy Crush.
I'd like you to know that when you click on the article, the rest of this headline says three tips that young Americans could take from baby boomers. And I think they were really smart to not put that part in the headline because if I would have seen that, I would have immediately rolled my eyes.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
So, what, 1 to 5?
It didn't give me any anxiety. It kind of made me giggle because I definitely waste money on Candy Crush. Candy Crush is a vibe. Dad, if you're listening to this, if you're listening to this, I did read this article and all the tips that it gave me, the three tips that I need to learn from boomers, I already do all of those things.
Uh-huh.
So I think it's okay that I waste a little money on Candy Crush. It brings me joy.
It's not a significant amount of money.
No.
Yeah.
No.
It's very rare that you spend money on Candy Crush, but yes, you have spent money on
it. But I definitely have.
I don't know, a 2 out of 5 for me.
Really?
I don't know. Are we wasting money on silly things? Probably. Sometimes.
But aren't we happier for it?
Probably, but you know, I don't like the article. I feel
like
it's calling me out.
I don't talk to very many baby boomers that seem happy to me. Do you know what I mean? Like,
they just have money.
Right. They're rich and sad. Like,
fair. Fair.
I don't aspire to be a baby boomer.
Yeah.
People don't.
And people our age are poor and sometimes happy.
Also sad.
Sad.
Everybody's sad. Okay. Next one.
Does make a difference, I guess. It doesn't fix that for sure. Here we go. Next title. More money will certainly mean more problems in your relationships, financial experts say, especially a marriage.
This was really interesting, and I'm guessing you didn't read it.
I don't. I remember seeing the article, but not really processing it and not checking back on it.
You should read this one. This didn't really give me anxiety when I read the headline, but it did really interest me, and I read it, and it talked about how having more money tends to be more of a relationship issue because you're no longer using the practicality of where do we need to put our money.
Mm-hmm.
You enter a phase where you can talk about where you want to put your money.
Sure.
And so when you have more, it allows more room for arguing over what you want to use that excess for.
That makes sense. Your values start to oppose. It's not like we need money for food and for shelter.
Right.
It's I want it for this. I would like to use it for this. And then you have to
compromise.
Negotiate out your values.
Right. And so I thought that was really interesting. And it talked about that after a large increase of income, it can take 5 to 6 years in order for your relationship to stabilize with it.
Huh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Anyway,
that is interesting.
It was very, very interesting.
Yeah. No, I mean, that makes sense. It's just
it didn't give me anxiety, though. I'm going to go 1 out of 5.
Yeah, 2 out of 5 for me again. Okay. Like, it is a mildly concerning idea.
Oh, and again, if you're new here, all these are linked in the show notes if you want to read any
Yeah,
of
you want to actually read these, we try and link them. Or at the very least, I guess you could look up the title, but
yeah.
Next one, MIT neuroscientist, the number one skill that sets people with excellent memory apart from those who struggle. It's rare.
Is
it how awake
memory.
They are?
I yawn more in this podcast than I do any other time in my life.
Yeah,
don't know
and like the last 2 days, you've been exhausted, but you yawn when you're on the podcast.
I do. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so bad. This gave me like a 2 out of 5.
Yeah.
I have a bad memory. And hearing...
It might just be an anxious week for me because I think it's 2 out of 5 for me as well. Just low-grade anxiety this week.
Oh, I read part of it, but I don't remember... I remember it talked about...
I take
about
that back. It's a 1 out of 5 for me. Memory is what it is.
The article talked about grouping and a few other like memory methods. That was interesting, but I don't remember what the
one
rare
thing is.
Skill was.
Well, you don't have memory.
No,
so.
None.
Yeah.
Horrible.
That's an ongoing theme of this segment is that
yeah.
Sometimes you read the articles and you have no idea what they said.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of your thing. All right. 4. Here we go. America is not ready for retirement.
4 out of 5.
That's, I got three for me, yeah.
Yeah, anything about retirement and not being ready, I don't know why. Like, I'm not anywhere near retirement.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I'm like, oh, shoot. Shoot.
Yeah. We're not ready.
We're not ready.
Which is fair at our age, but we're not ready.
Yeah.
We're not ready.
No, we're not. Do you have a word of the week?
I forgot to do a word this week.
Oh, people are going to be so upset, man.
Should we just take a time out and...
No, go ahead. You have to just out of nowhere. You have to pull it out of your brain.
Pull it out of my brain.
Yep.
Uh-oh.
Come on, you got it.
I not only have to think of a word, but I have to remember like the actual meaning of it.
That's the punishment.
Oh no.
This is the punishment. Do 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 do.
Oh, that's not nice. Do, do. No. Hey.
You have a great vocabulary.
I do, but like it's when I'm thinking of something.
Okay.
You know I can't think of things on the spot.
Yeah, you can.
Kind of.
Practice. Yeah.
This isn't good. This isn't good podcasting.
I like it. Pressure's on.
Yeah, you just like it because you've turned the tables on me.
How about weenus?
Weenus? Yeah. Do you know what a weenus is since you asked me?
Isn't it your elbow?
Yeah, it's the bone in your elbow.
Oh, it's the bone?
Well, yeah, I think it's like...
Oh.
Isn't it?
I don't know.
I'm not confident either now. You've made me less sure.
Okay, no word of the week, but we have voicemails.
We do. It's probably good. We're probably going to running long anyway.
Do, 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 do.
I will bring a word of the week next week, guys. I apologize.
I can't believe
that. Kind of forgot it was a thing.
How?
I don't know. My memory's not any good.
That's crap.
What do you mean it's crap?
He's a liar.
Well, through the art of podcast editing magic, I could have just looked something up and turned it into something, but you didn't let me.
Voicemail number one. Voicemail number one.
Okay.
Calling from Toronto, Ontario, in Canada. I just listened to your episode where someone had left a message from BC and it had cut out their voicemail. But it makes me smile every time I hear someone from Canada leave a voicemail. I just wanted to get on here and ask you about how you and Matt started budgeting for buying a home, or feeling that you were able to afford living life and like having kids and having a wedding. And I know obviously that's like basically a really simple question. I've listened to your Middle Ground podcast on like how to save and how to be financially smart. I'm just really stressed about it going into my next wave of life. My partner is a teacher, and so he has been saving for quite some time now, and I'm still a graduate student. I'm going into my last year, and I don't make that much money, and I would just love to hear what you and Matt did to start budgeting for everything that you are doing in life. Thank you so much. Love the podcast. Bye.
Hi.
Hi.
I love it when people, I know I say it every time, but we met somebody from Canada while we were Tom and Rachel's party that was so cool.
She was delightful.
I want to be her best friend.
One of the highlights of the trip.
Absolutely. Karen, I know you're not listening, but I love you.
But if you were. We had a great time.
Yeah,
we miss you.
Yeah, we do. Anyway, she was so great. I think this is a great question.
Uh-huh.
And I think the thing that so many people get wrapped up in is wanting to accomplish stuff like this with some kind of rapid speed.
Yeah.
And I think slow and steady really wins the race.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the thing I did that I've done since I was young that was so smart and I'm grateful for is automatic savings.
Yeah.
Which, if you've listened to the Middle Ground episode about this, you hear me talk about it. I budget my savings instead of my spending, and that's always really, I'm not a spender though.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
So that's the biggest thing, but it's making sure that your saving is your first priority. So whether that's $5 a week or $100 a week, making sure that it's automatically going into a safe place where you don't touch it.
Yeah. Yeah. Getting it out of sight, out of mind, is very helpful in terms of it not feeling like it's available to dip back into. Also, you're just, if you're a grad student, you're not even into the workforce yet. So it's, there's time to really work on that if you're wanting to generate a lot of income, then you're going to be in the life phase where that's really important. And so,
and the big thing I did that helped me get where I was going faster is I picked up side gigs to make extra money.
Mm-hmm.
And any side thing that I did, I saved all of that. So right out of college, I was working full time and doing photography on the side. And I used all of my photography income that was left over. I saved it.
Yeah.
I have the hiccups. I don't know what is wrong with me when
you
we
are
podcast,
just the worst sounding podcaster in the world.
I know.
You got a good voice though, but other than that,
thank you.
Just completely unprofessional.
Thank you so much. I'm just going to take the compliment. I did some of those side gigs. And so if there's something that I hate giving that as a recommendation,
mm-hmm.
because I wish that that wasn't the world that we live in. But in yeah. reality, I think to get ahead.
Well, honestly, though, it wasn't so much a side gig. You turned that into a primary,
right.
primary form of employment. And so there's a lot of different thoughts on that, on should you pick up a bunch of side gigs or should you really work to make the thing that you enjoy or the thing that you're good at.
Maybe what she's in grad school for, she's really passionate about. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe you're not going to make tons of money doing whatever you do. And I think that's the situation a lot of people are in. Like, I know a lot of people who are teachers or nurses who have these degrees and are working, but they're on a set salary. And so hitting those goals faster, the only way to hit those goals faster is to spend a whole lot less or make more. Mm-hmm. You know, those when it comes down to it. And if you're already living fairly lean and really saving where you can and you want to achieve those goals faster, it requires picking up making income somewhere else.
Taking that energy and
there are lots of options to make a little more money. And even if it's only $50 a week, if it's you know, buy a Cricut, you know, customize stuff, there are different things that you can do on the side to make a little extra cash and hit those goals faster. I hate that that's the way it is, but that's how I hit my goals faster is I spent a lot of time working. I was doing photography on the side and then took photography full time. And then I started doing my courses online and my presets online. And as my income went up, I didn't really scale my lifestyle. I did eventually scale my lifestyle with it.
Yeah.
But in those first couple of years, I didn't scale my lifestyle with that income. I really put money aside and saved.
Yeah.
No. Wouldn't you say?
It's true. Also, you have time.
I don't know what Matt did. Matt married me.
Yeah. No, I married somebody who really thought about it a lot. I was just an engineer that made a stable income. But I didn't, again, we talk about this often. We did not graduate college with debt. We own our cars. So we have not had to dig our way out of anything.
I've never purchased
been on the
a
upside.
Car with less than 100,000 miles on it.
Mine, I did. It had 72,000 miles on it.
Yeah.
That I proceeded to turn into 100 in like a year.
Yeah.
It was when I was driving from St. Louis to Fayetteville often. But
yeah, so we always feel like when we answer these questions, we really come from a place of privilege.
Very, very much so.
We want that to be clear, but I would say automatic. Make anything you can automatic, whether it's $5 a week or $50 a week, $100 a week. If you can make something automatic and if you're not noticing it, increase it a little more. And if you're not noticing it, increase it a little more. And keep doing that until you're really... And Acorns is a great app for that.
Yeah, if you can put it somewhere where you can let interest work for you. Yeah, Acorns is somewhere that it will invest it for you.
It is not the investing elite or anything.
No, absolutely. There's a lot of, again, there are people out there that are great resources for investment, but if you can take the money that you're setting aside and not only just have a pile of cash, if you can turn that into something that you invest and let grow over a long period of time. Now, short term, can't, but typically over the long term, investments do well.
Yeah.
So you can make your money help you a little bit.
Hi, Joe and Matt. My name's Megan, and I'm from Nashville. I just recently came across your podcast and have been binging it throughout my work days for the past week and a half, and just got to the Sloth Dolphins and Friends podcast. I've really enjoyed listening to that one as I'm 2 years out of college now and just left a job that I've had for a really, really long time. and have a whole bunch of friends that are still there. So just kind of trying to navigate this new world of keeping up with friends that are from my old job and how to maintain those friendships while also wanting to explore some possibilities of new friendships here in the present and in the future. So if y'all have any further ideas on how to gain those new adult friendships and keep up with them, whether that be going to craft classes or events or from the gym or, you know, whatever, I would love to hear them as this is a new journey for me.
I've never been to Nashville.
No, that's we're going to Tennessee, but we're not going to Nashville.
I think it's crazy I've never been there with how many bachelorettes and weddings I've been to. Anyway, great. Congratulations on
a new job,
life successes and new job and all that. That's wonderful. My number one tip that I give people whenever they're kind of moving on to a next phase and feel like they're leaving friends behind, kind of, not that you think like your goal is to maintain them, but you're moving on from the way that they've been readily available in your life, is voice memos. Voice memos is the number one underutilized thing of all time when it comes to friendships, and I stand by that.
Yeah.
Because as you get older, it gets harder to connect with people on a regular basis because you're not constantly surrounded by your peers. In high school and college, you have classes together, you go out together, you live together, and then all of a sudden you enter this phase where you're out and you're socializing in a very different way, and you don't have those regular meeting points, so you have to create them yourself. But it doesn't always work to connect on the phone, and I feel like text messages are great and you can utilize them to keep up, but you lose a lot of that emotion and feeling. I love to leave random voice memos for my friends.
Yeah, smart.
It's been a great tool for me. I try to call my friends regularly too to keep up. And I think as you get older, there's something about just realizing that seeing one another once or twice a year is still a very valid friendship.
Yeah. Yeah. But being able to hear somebody's voice is nice.
Yeah.
Even if it's just whenever.
As for making new friends, like going to that new job.
I was going to say the new job, varies wildly. That when I was an engineer, the median age when I started out of school was 55 in my office, so nobody was in the same phase of life or even within 10 years of it, so that wasn't the same kind of deal. But if you're in somewhere that has coworkers anywhere near your age, you'll begin to develop relationships with those people, and they may have friends you grow to. There will just be a lot of experiences with those people that you'll share.
Yeah. And I think exactly what you said, craft classes and workout classes and the gym, meet people and take your time in meeting people. I think that it's really easy to want those relationships to be there and be there now, but they develop and they happen over time and consistency. So find a life that you really enjoy. If that's the gym, if that's attending a regular crafting class or anything like that, start going regularly and see who you're surrounded with and let those relationships develop organically over time. And that season can be hard because it can feel a little, I don't know, discombobulating, like you're, you know, just, but the ground will eventually harden beneath you and you will find that stability.
Yeah. You can just be a little unmoored for a period of time for sure.
What?
Unmoored. Is that our word of the week? I was like, I think this could be it, but I'm going to just float it out there, see how it goes.
What is it?
Unmoored.
Uh-huh. Spell it.
U-N-M-O-O-R-E-D. Unmoored.
Okay.
Like untethered.
Oh.
Like moored. I think ships, I think, are moored.
Unmoored.
Docked.
Unmoored.
Yeah.
Okay.
Floating around.
Unmoored.
Yeah. I was thinking about it. See, I had something to think about, and then I could use a fun word.
I like that.
Anyway, that is a time where you can be unmoored. Now it's just, I've said it so many times, it's just sounding empty to me. But if you go to a workout class regularly, you see the same people there, you know, 5-6 times. You do these things so that you see who has similar values and similar schedules and who, that's kind of how you figure out who your people are and if you see someone at a workout class eight times, you go, oh, I've seen you here a bunch. I'm, you know, so-and-so. I'm me, and who are you? And what do you do? And you can kick it off that way and just
That's how I've made some of my best friends.
A lot of common ground, yeah.
And it continues that way if you allow it to. I have great friends, and I continue to make new friends in each season.
Yeah.
It's fun.
I mean, you've found new friends through your job now.
Yeah.
It's a weird job, and the friends usually don't live real close, but you've found a lot of people that are doing the thing that you're doing and enjoy it and find a lot of fulfillment in it. And those are the people that you can relate to.
And I've also made friends who just work within the industries. The other thing I'll say is no matter what you do, don't feel like you are tethered down to the people who are doing exactly what you're doing.
Sure.
You know, I've found people that I've gotten really close to that work in content creation, helping doing contracting, like behind the scenes and, you know, all these different things. It doesn't
or work on the other side in advertising and
right. You know. And it's just cool because if you look for people that are in the same worlds as you, it's just a different kind of connection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a mutual understanding.
And it doesn't have to be work. It can be your passions. It can be your hobbies. It can
write off work either, because it's what most of us spend most of our time at. That's really where we throw a lot of our energy, at least in our 20s and 30s and 40s, trying to build that financial stability in our lives.
Yep. Wow. Guys, that was long.
It was. So we
back and better than ever.
We even squeezed a word of the week in there.
I love it. All right, we'll be back next week. We're going to start talking more house.
Yeah.
More house.
More how we did it.
Yep.
Less just what it was.
And on that note, bye.
Bye.